Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here with you.
Always good to be here on Sunday night.
It is.
Woo!
Wow.
Yeah, the time going faster and faster.
It is.
And we were just talking before the show how in
it seems
a couple
like it
of weeks it'll be Pentecost.
Yeah.
Then we'll be planning Christmas shows pretty soon.
Exactly. Well, we got to get through summer first.
Really. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We could just go like Christmas in July.
Yeah.
No, that would be
too
pagan.
Let's not do that. We got too much other scripture to go through.
That's true.
But anyway, so Easter season
is still upon us.
Still upon us.
Yep.
And the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord we celebrated now. How many weeks ago was it? It was March 27th.
Six. Wow. Would be, yeah, 6 weeks ago.
Coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can never exhaust the whole subject of all the deep meaning of all of that. But, you know, the at this point, we're in a place now where the gospel has to be spread. And the whole story about Jesus the Messiah, what happened on the cross, what happened with the resurrection, how do we come into the kingdom? This now has to be spread. And interestingly, as we're going to see, up until this point, you know, the apostles, the disciples were instructed to preach to the Jews, not to go to Samaria, mm-hmm. not to go to the Gentile lands, but to reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Right.
But now we're going to see in what's commonly called the Great Commission, which, by the way, all of us are still in. We are still all being instructed in that.
Now, are we called to go out and preach?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Yes.
I just want to make sure.
And even though we're going to talk about what Jesus told these guys roughly 2,000 years ago, he's telling us the same thing today.
It still applies today.
Still applies today.
That's amazing.
Because the Great Commission hasn't changed. Every generation has to hear the word. Every person has to hear the word. You know, there's a funny old saying that God doesn't have grandchildren. You know, everybody becomes a child of God. And we've talked many times on our show about how we're adopted children of the Father. Yeah. Not grandchildren, we're adopted children. And so everyone in the kingdom is a child of his.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are here in response to the Great Commission to bring people into the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you listen to, you know, really what the world says, it's like they want to tell you, or the world wants to tell us, oh, we've moved past that.
Yeah.
We've got this figured out.
Oh, yeah.
We're in control of everything. Don't worry. It's going to be great. You don't have to worry about that ancient stuff anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Because we're with it. We know what's best for us.
Yeah, there's no sin anymore.
No,
it doesn't matter what you do, who you are, who you hang out with. It's all going to be good in the end.
Well, you know, what you hear a lot of people say is, well, I can't tell somebody else that they're wrong.
Right.
And if we buy into that, then where is truth?
Yes.
And where does the fabric of our society fall to?
Yes.
Because if there is no truth, you have chaos.
And unfortunately, you hear clergy people say this too.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, if you have no truth, if that stop sign doesn't mean stop to me and I run through it.
Yeah.
And I hit somebody else. Is that truth? You know, and I think if people think in terms of thinking of ideas and of thoughts and, you know, concepts, But the reality is there is truth. There's eternal truths. And God has laid those out for us in the pages of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus came to testify to the truth. And he sent the advocate, the Holy Spirit, to lead us in all truth.
Mm-hmm.
So if truth is not a big deal, why did Jesus tell Pilate, I've come to testify to the truth?
Mm-hmm.
And why did he tell us, I'm going to send you the advocate, the Holy Spirit, who's going to lead you in all truth and remind you of all that I taught you?
Yeah. And the world is
very
now saying,
important.
Now the world's saying what Pilate said. What is truth?
Exactly.
And they're not saying it, well, what is truth? I want to learn. They're saying it in a sarcastic, flippant way. What is truth?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what you think is true, I might not think is true, but we're both right.
And truth is not relative.
Right.
You know, there's always my side of the story, your side of the story, and then there's really the truth of what's going on, because we all have biases and opinions.
Right.
But there's always a truth to what's being, or what's happening, or what's being told, or what's being said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this, you know, as we've seen in a very short amount of time, the Judeo-Christian fabric of our society coming apart, mm-hmm. and the foundations rotting away, it mostly has to do with this moral relativism that you mentioned.
Right.
Because years ago, you knew what was right, you knew what was wrong. Now everything is all right. I mean, after all, if you're unhappy about something, or you had a unhappy, bad childhood, that gives you license to commit a crime, to set a store on fire, to do any number of things, because now you're justified in doing those things because you had a bad childhood.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes on and on.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is commentary that says that when Jesus rose from the dead, the leaders of the day paid people to say that he didn't rise from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
His body was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's commentary in various sources that cite that. So as a human race, we can try and suppress the truth because we want to, you know, we think we're right, or we think, you know, my opinion is right, or my concept is right, or my idea is right.
Right.
And if we never step back to, you know, ask God for truth and to lead us in truth and to, how do I want to say this? Seek his eternal wisdom, then how do we arrive at truth?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and truth, you know, this is something that's been going on for centuries down through the ages. You know, you have church councils that get together, they talk about things and they deliberate about what is truth.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
And in him is the fullness of life. And so he comes and he pours out his life for us so that we don't end up like Uzziah touching the ark and being struck dead. Because now we can approach the throne of God with confidence through the blood of Christ.
Right.
That we can actually approach God and call him Father.
Right.
Daddy. Abba. Before we couldn't do that.
That's right.
I mean, that's a, you know, we talked about this, you know, months ago on the show. That's the essence of the good news of the gospel.
That's right.
That once we couldn't even approach God, but now the veil has been, it's been removed. And through the blood of Messiah, we can approach God.
Mm-hmm.
And we can cry out, Father.
Mm-hmm.
And he receives us, not because of anything we've done, but because of what Jesus Christ did for us.
Right. And what we have to add to that is that he is the only way through which this can be done.
Exactly.
The world doesn't want to hear that.
No.
When you look at the world as it was in this passage that we will eventually get to, you know, you had the Jews as the covenant people. You had everybody else as pagan Gentile people.
Mm-hmm.
And the pagan Gentile people did not have the law, did not have a covenant with the true God.
Right.
They had multiplicities of gods.
Right.
The Israelites were the covenant people. They had the true God. They knew what God's law was. And if you were your sort of card-carrying, garden-variety pagan who lived in Greece or in Rome or in anywhere, according to the laws of God, you had no possibility at all to be saved by whatever that meant. You would have no concept of that because there was no way you could have a covenant with the true God. There was no way you could have any type of relationship with him until now, as we're going to see in this passage that, why don't you go ahead and read, Stephen?
See,
everybody who's listening, unless you're driving, if you want to open to Matthew 28, if you want to read 16 through 20.
Mm-hmm. So, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age."
Mm. So now here's the resurrected Christ, the glorified body of Jesus, interacting with his close associates that he had been with for 3 years, that had seen him die and be buried, had seen him after being risen.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is taking place just before he's going to ascend into heaven. Matthew
right.
doesn't give us an ascension account, but this is just before the ascension. And they meet him. They're told to meet him on a certain mountain in Galilee. So this is interesting. So,
mm-hmm.
he tells them, you know, there have been numerous appearances. You know, we talked about that, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. That, you know, there were public appearances. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that he appeared to 500 of the brethren at one point.
Yeah.
And some of them, most of them are still alive. Some of them have died. You know, so you can go ask them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll tell you, you know, he appeared to Cephas and the apostles, and then he appeared to me, and you know, Paul points out all these physical examples about how there really was a resurrection.
Right.
And so here is another one of these examples. So they're on a certain mountain. So they've traveled there. They've obeyed his command and they've traveled to this mountain to see him. And interestingly, when you think about this, he ordains the time of these appearances, where they're taking place, what the meeting's going to be about, who's going to be there. You know, these are all planned actually from all eternity.
Right.
But here in this particular one that Matthew writes about, it's a mountain where they're told to come. And what he's going to do here is he's actually going to give them their credentials. You know, if you want to look at it that way. Now,
their diplomas?
Yeah, their diplomas.
Yeah.
Now, these guys, you know, if these guys would have gone to a seminary or a Bible college or something like that, they'd have flunked out.
They didn't? They didn't go to a seminary?
I know. These guys would have flunked out.
Uh-oh.
These guys were uneducated. Maybe they could read and write. They certainly couldn't have written long theological discussions about anything. But one thing they did was they spent 3 years with him.
Yes.
And that's a pretty good qualification.
That counts for something.
Yeah, counts for something. And
even though they spent 3 years with him, they still asked that one question, though.
Yeah.
They couldn't, you know.
Yeah, that's
are you
right.
going to restore the kingdom? So that kind of, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
so it counts
but
for something.
They're. He's going to send them out. Now, this is going to be the key because He's going to send them out. He's leaving. Yes. I mean, in a physical sense, he's leaving.
And they don't know that yet.
They don't know that yet.
Yeah.
So pretty soon, he's not going to be there anymore. They're still going to be there. And they're going to be going out into the world. So they're getting their marching orders, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting their credentials. They're getting their orders of what they're going to do. And everyone, of course, if you look at the analogy of an army, you know, you always see these. I was never in the military. I don't know if you were, Steve.
No, I was not.
But, you know, you always see these things where there's these soldiers or pilots and whatever sitting in a room and some officer's telling them, you know, what they're going to do that night or the next day. Because somebody with authority issues the orders.
Yep.
And the guys who are getting the orders, they got to carry them out.
Yes.
Because they're the underlings. They're the ones that are, you know, the enlisted men and women. They have to carry out the orders. So here he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, he doesn't say most of the authority. He doesn't say actually quite a bit of the authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And he doesn't say, I got about 10% of the authority. He says all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. So therefore, I have the authority to issue these orders to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember when we went through some of those things in John's gospel, the leaders were always saying, by what authority do you do these things?
Yeah.
What's your authority? You know, we're the authority figures here. We didn't give you permission to do this.
Right.
You know, where do you, you don't have a diploma that says you're allowed to come here and do this. You know, who do you think you are? You have no authority here. Well, now he says, I have all authority in heaven and earth. And he says, it's been given to me. Okay. So all authority, of course, is coming from the Father. Nobody else in the world, nobody else in heaven, nobody else anywhere can say, I have all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, except Jesus, except the God-man, except the Messiah. So he's the foundation of all of it. He's the mediator of all of it. And because of what he's done, he's given authority, all authority, in heaven and earth, to now tell them what the plan's going to be.
That's a very good point.
I think we're to a break.
I think so.
Well, this is a good sign. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Let God arise. Let God arise. Let God arise. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered, and let the righteous be glad.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So here we are in section two already.
Put your banner back.
Yeah. Song always wipes me out. Whew, I don't have the stamina to dance that much these days. But anyway, so we're talking about his authority because, you know, he sits on the throne of David, which is one of his messianic titles.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of authority. He's the Lion of Judah, which is a lot of authority. You know, in the book of Revelation, it says the kingdoms of the world have become his kingdoms. So everything's being put under his feet because all the plan of salvation, which is unfolded through the scriptures from Abraham on, you know, through the whole scripture, but everything that started with Abraham has now come to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you remember the one of the promises, the third promise made to Abraham was that all the nations of the earth would be blessed because of Abraham.
Yeah.
And now we're going to see why that is. And we're going to see why for all of us dopey Gentiles who didn't have a clue about anything to do with Abraham, we're blessed by Abraham's descendant, Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, and we get to come into the kingdom.
So we really should understand the importance of Abraham.
Yes.
In the history of salvation.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He is, you know, he may not be our physical father, but he's a spiritual father. Mm-hmm. He's our father in faith.
Yeah.
And Paul even talks about this in Romans, you know.
Is that your favorite book?
Romans? Well, it's the second favorite.
Okay.
Hebrews is actually my favorite.
It is?
Yeah. Oh,
okay. But I can't keep track of that.
I know.
But anyway.
I like almost all of them.
But anyway.
I mean, some of them get a little tedious.
Like numbers?
Like, you know.
Numbers.
Leviticus.
Yeah,
course.
Leviticus.
Ecclesiastes is a little weird, too.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's not for me to judge the books.
Wise statement.
Yes, yeah.
Very wise statement.
Way better people than me have been doing that for millennia. But I made me forget what I was going to say.
Sorry.
But anyway. But
Father Abraham, why is important to the
faith?
You know,
Paul points out in Romans that even though the Gentiles aren't children of Abraham physically, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we accept him as Messiah, Abraham becomes our spiritual father.
Spiritual father, yep.
And true Israel, and we're not going to get into this, you know, replacement theology or any of this because, you know, as you know, Steve and I are very connected to Israel and we do a lot of Israel stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you think about it, when you come into the kingdom, when you're grafted into the kingdom, you know, part of that tree is Abraham.
Yeah.
And we're grafted into that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, something that's, I think that's important to point out is that something might be taken away from someone for a time, but that doesn't mean that God's given up on or tossing the, you know, that person out.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause Jesus died for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus died for not just a person, but a tribe, but a nation,
mm-hmm.
for all people, so that they might inherit eternal salvation. So, it's not a good practice to cast people off because if I'm quick to do that with somebody, is God quick to do that with me?
Yeah.
You know, and we, you know, I think we all try to follow God as best as we can, the direction of the Holy Spirit. There certainly is a distinction between someone acknowledging that Jesus is the Messiah versus someone who isn't. But nonetheless, whether they're a Jew or a Gentile, slave or free, whether they believe that Jesus is the Messiah or not, it's our, you know, obligation.
Mm-hmm.
To evangelize and to share the good news with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to continue to do that so that, You have to cultivate the soil. You have to plant the seed and cultivate the soil and hope that it bears fruit one day.
Yeah.
And that's all done by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And in fact, yeah, that's actually an excellent way to put that, because, and this is not the topic of this show, but it bears commenting on that. When Israel, for the most part, rejected the Messiah, they were subjected to penalties for that.
Yeah.
Punishments for that. Mm-hmm. Because their whole scripture, their whole revelation that they received from God was pointing to him.
Yeah.
And they said, no, we don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we also know from the book of Romans that all Israel will be saved.
Yeah.
And we also know that there's promises to the patriarchs. And in many parts of the scripture, it says, for the sake of the patriarchs, God will be merciful to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the promises he made to the patriarchs, he will be merciful.
Yeah.
And in the book of Jeremiah, it's one of my favorite major prophets. And it's, everybody knows 31:31, you know, about the new covenant with Israel, and, you know, it's going to be in your heart and so forth. But starting in verse 35, I'll try to summarize this. Basically, God says, I give the, you know, thus says the Lord, who gives the sun as a light for the day and ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who divides the sea and the waves, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances, and he's talking about the laws to Israel, depart from me, then the seed of Israel shall cease to be a nation. In other words, if all of a sudden there's no sun during the day, there's no moon and stars during the night, there's no more waves on the sea, then Israel's not going to be a nation anymore. If the heaven above can be measured and the foundation of the earth be searched out, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all they've done, says the Lord.
Hmm.
So in other words, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to measure my creation.
No, he's not going to cast off Israel. Like you say, the favor's taken away for a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, in 1948, it went back to the land.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this is why, you know, replacement theology that I mentioned before, you listeners may or may not know, means that if you believe in replacement theology, it means that the promises that they made to, that God made to the Jews now belong to the church, mm-hmm. and that Israel is basically done.
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe that. And, but that's a whole nother 10 shows.
Yeah. Well, something that you mentioned, you know, the spiritual family, we're spiritual children of Abraham.
Right.
And I think this bears mentioning as well, because, you know, Jesus died on the cross to, you know, remove that barrier that was between Jew and Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it still exists today,
mm-hmm.
even between believers.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So, and when I say believers, I mean believers who are of the Jewish or of a descendant of Israel, mm-hmm. of Jewish tradition, mm-hmm. or Jewish ethnicity, and between Gentiles, mm-hmm. those who aren't Jewish. Mm-hmm. So that there's still that mindset or division that's there, where Christ came to tear down that wall.
Mm-hmm.
But the spiritual family is something that I think is, as human beings, it's a little more difficult for us to understand that, because we tend to see ourselves, and especially in our culture, because the family is so fragmented.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard to see someone who's not a relative, a blood relative, like they're my brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
How does that possible?
Especially if you don't like them.
That makes it even all the more harder. And then you really have to get into, you know, no greater love is there than this, than to lay your life down for a friend. Well, if someone's your friend and you can't lay your life down for them, then you're really not exemplifying the love that Christ asks us to have.
Yeah.
And if they're your enemy, well, you're certainly not going to lay down your life for an enemy. So where, you know, as a human being, where am I at? Am I really a disciple of Jesus Christ at that point? So it's a high calling. You know, Christ calls us to a high calling as a disciple.
Yeah, that's right.
And one that we must take seriously, and not, you know, not, I don't want to get off track here, but as far as the, you know, a family, it's really important for us to see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
In Christ, because it's through his blood that we are all adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because typically in a, you know, a human family, earthly family, you have a bloodline and you're relatives mm-hmm. by blood. But Jesus, by shedding his blood, makes us adopted spiritual children by his blood.
Great point.
Yeah.
Great point. And, you know, some of my brothers and sisters in the Lord are pretty annoying.
I thought you weren't going to say anything about that on the show. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
But, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And, you know, our humanity and sin nature always get in the way.
Yeah, it does.
But anyway, and you know, we don't like to think, and I always go back to the Sunday after 9/11 when I was at a prayer meeting in Ann Arbor, Michigan,
mm-hmm.
at Renewal Ministries.
Oh,
and
yeah.
My friend Peter Herbeck got up on the platform and said, we should pray for Osama bin Laden and the terrorists because Christ died for them too. And I said, no, I'm not going to pray for them.
Yeah.
I want them to go to hell today. Yeah. But then I realized, you know, when you think about it, he's right.
Mm-hmm.
But they just killed 3,000 of my countrymen.
Yeah.
I don't want to pray for them.
That is, I mean, what you're talking about there, that is really, that's hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard because of our humanity.
Yes.
And is God pleased with what happened? No. It doesn't please him.
No.
But I think that's the hard part for people to come to terms with, is that even in the midst of something that is really that difficult and that ugly and that sinful, God's mercy is greater than that. And the blood of Jesus Christ is greater than that.
Amen.
Because if I was on that end, I would certainly, and I was in need of salvation, I better hope that the blood of Jesus covers me.
Right.
Because if it doesn't, I have no hope at all.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you, you know, like the writer to the Hebrews says, you know, if you can't look away from so great a salvation. You can't reject so great a salvation, because then what do you have?
Yeah.
If you reject Jesus, you reject the cross as your salvation, then what do you have?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to try to do it on your own.
Yeah.
You're going to try to be good. You're going to try to be nice. You're going to try to follow the rules.
Yeah. Try to follow the laws.
Yeah. You're not going to do a really good job.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great if you can do it, mm-hmm. you know, for 10-15 minutes at a time, but you're not going to do it for your life.
Has anybody ever been able to do it?
No. So, you know, getting back to his authority, you know, all authority in heaven and earth is given to him, he says. And, you know, he doesn't get the authority illegally. You know, once in a while somebody will take over a government and say, I'm taking over this government and, you know, I have authority now, but it's illegal authority.
Right.
His authority is given to him. He's entitled to it. You know, in Psalm 2, verse 6, it says, I have set my king on the holy hill of Zion.
Mm.
You know, he's the king.
Yeah.
And when the angel Gabriel talks to the Virgin Mary about the conceiving a son and naming him Yeshua, says the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David.
Yeah.
So everybody knew who David was. Everybody knew he was the great king. Everybody knew that Messiah was going to be the son of David. So the angel says to Mary, this son that you're going to conceive and deliver is going to sit on the throne of his father, David.
Yeah.
Hmm. And, you know, this, of course, was always the plan. But now, even though Jesus as the God-man in his divinity, as the ever-existent second person of the Trinity, always had power and authority.
That's true.
There wasn't a time where he didn't have any power and he didn't have any authority. But now he's done the work of salvation, the plan of salvation, which of course is Trinitarian, because everything that God does is Trinitarian, because each person in the Godhead is involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
The work of salvation, his bringing salvation and offering himself to the Father through the Spirit, this was his part of the plan. And so therefore, he's got the authority and the power because he's done the plan. He's done his part of salvation,
mm-hmm.
and he's become the second Adam,
yeah,
as Paul likes to call him. So the first Adam brings death. The second Adam brings life.
Yeah. As you were talking about that, I was thinking, you know, that as Jesus says, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
Mm.
He didn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't swoop in and go, "Ooh, I want that."
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Satan tried to tempt him in the desert, Satan wanted the power and the authority.
That's right. Good point.
It wasn't given to him.
That's right.
But he wanted it. And it's a, you know, it's a real lesson for us that when we seek power and authority and it hasn't been given to us, what are we after?
Uh-huh.
You know, do I wait upon the Lord to place me in a position of power and authority to serve? It's
yeah.
not so that you can lord it over people, as Jesus says, but it's that you're going to serve people.
Yeah.
And that power and authority is there for a purpose far greater than ourselves. But the one thing that as we've been talking about this, that comes to mind is, you know, Jesus has seen his disciples have seen Jesus risen from the dead now for days and weeks. And I have to wonder, what were they thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jesus wasn't going to the temple to show himself to the scribes and the Pharisees. Did they wonder about that?
Mm.
You know, well, gosh, here he is. He's back with us. This is great. We thought he was dead. Now he's risen.
Mm-hmm.
Just like he said. He's opening their minds to the scriptures and their understanding from, you know, from Moses through all the prophets, what related to him in scripture.
Yeah.
So why isn't the kingdom of Israel restored? What's taken so long?
Uh-huh.
He's back. You know, I've never really thought about this in this way before, but as we've been talking about it, you know, this week here on, in this passage, what were they starting to think? Because we know that before he ascends, they asked that famous question, are you now at this time going to restore yeah. the kingdom of Israel?
Yeah, yeah.
So as time goes on,
yeah,
they're not seeing, well, gosh, these pesky Romans are still here. Can we just get them out of here
yeah.
and clean out the whole city and we can get back to, you know, if we can get back to the temple worship and yeah. things are going to be great. And as time goes on, they see that that's not happening. So what is God's plan? And it's even true in our day where we want to see things happen, or we think how things should happen, and then we don't.
Yeah.
And we go, what's taking place here?
Yeah.
Is this of the Lord or is it not of the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can be very, you know, it can be a little bit, waiting upon the Lord is not our strong suit. But it's necessary because as God moves and works things out, waiting upon the Lord is essential.
Oh yeah.
In our life as a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Even when we hear or read about a prophecy that somebody has, you know, we think it should be fulfilled, you know, certainly within the next 72 hours, maybe 24 hours, but yeah. certainly within 2 or 3 days.
Right.
Right. And if it doesn't come to pass in a week, you say, oh, I guess he was wrong.
But not 1,400 years.
No.
Yeah.
Well, second break already. Oh. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Who is like him, Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne? Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun till the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing the praise. Who is like him? Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Come praise him, praise Adonai. From the rising of the sun till the end of every day, praise Adonai. Of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing the
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Was that you singing?
Yes.
That's awesome.
I recorded that last night, actually.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was my new McPherson guitar, too. Paul Wilbur, if you're listening, I'm just joking. Of course, he's probably like falling over laughing by now. But
I was going to say, Phil, I never knew you could. That's your man of many talents here.
That's one of my, you know.
Keeping your treasures hidden.
That's one of my strong points is, you know, my musical talent. So anyway. So now, okay, so he has the authority to send them.
He does.
Yes.
He does.
And so interestingly, you know, we were talking during the break that, you know, they had walked around with him for 3 years. They had seen him die. They had seen his dead body. Now they're seeing his glorified body. That must have been kind of encouraging to them.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, as Stephen was saying, they were looking around and everything looked pretty much the same.
Yeah.
The Romans were still marching around and everything still was like it was the, you know, the day before all of this started.
Yeah.
Because they had this sort of different idea about what the kingdom was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But now, interestingly, he makes an interesting point there where he says, go therefore into all nations. Now, before he said you only go to the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go to the Gentile nations. You don't even go to Samaria.
Yeah.
Now he says you go to all nations.
Well, you remember the woman that was begging?
Yes.
And he says, you know, I've come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Yes.
It's not right.
Yes. And he tells them to go.
Yeah.
In other words, you got to go out to take the gospel to people. You don't sit home and hope somebody comes to the door and says, okay, what's the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
You got to go out and do the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for those of you that like to sit around and relax and think that you're doing the work of the kingdom, you're not. You got to go out and do the work of the kingdom.
Yeah.
He says, go and do it. You know, kind of like when he told Abraham, go.
Mm-hmm.
The Hebrew there means get up right now and get going.
Mm-hmm.
Not when you feel like doing it. Or when you're done packing, you just go now. So this is the same type of thing. So you go to preach the gospel, and he sends them to the nations, which means they're going to go to the Gentiles.
Yep.
They're going to go not just in the cities of Israel. They're going to go through the Roman world. They're going to go into non-Roman world. They're going to go into every place where there's people. They got to go, and they got to take the gospel there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for us too.
That is true.
Because, interestingly, one of my favorite passages in Ephesians chapter 2 is, you know, the wall of partition is broken down.
Yes.
And we've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because in his flesh, he breaks down the wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles and makes one new man.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you can go preach to the Gentiles. It doesn't matter that they're not circumcised. It doesn't matter that they don't know who Abraham is. It doesn't matter that they don't have the Torah.
Right.
No matter who they are, where they are, you're going to go tell them about the gospel. You're going to go tell them about me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a radical departure to go into the nations, and you're going to baptize them. And this is interesting too, because when people say baptism is not important, this is one of the places I refer them.
Yeah.
Baptism is important.
Yeah, there's a big misunderstanding about what baptism is.
Exactly. So here it is. You baptize them, and he gives them the Trinitarian formula for baptism.
That's important too.
Right. You're not just baptizing in the name of Yahweh. You're not just baptizing in the name of God. I mean, you are, but each of the three persons is being invoked.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he says this to these guys, they don't have the concept of the Trinity down. You know, these guys are first century Jews.
Right. And the Holy Spirit was not really, a well-understood person. What was the Holy Spirit? You know, what was their understanding of the Holy Spirit at that time?
They know the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Yeah.
That's what they know. So now he's saying you baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So he's giving them the Trinitarian formula for baptism, which I think is very important.
If it's coming from Jesus' lips, it's probably is very important.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when people talk about divorce and what kind of divorce is allowed. I said, well, Jesus addresses that.
Yep.
It's like either you think this is important or you don't.
Yeah. Moses gave you a divorce bill because of the hardness of your heart.
That's right. And so now, instead of going only to the Jews, salvation's offered to all. And anyone can come. Doesn't matter where you're from, where you've been, what you know, what you don't know, and you're going to go into all the nations. You know, it's kind of like when you go, and the other difference here, I want to say this real quick before the time runs out, then I want to give Steve a chance to say something. You know, when they went to Gentile nations, some of the prophets did go to Gentile nations. For example, Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Nineveh to condemn Nineveh.
Yes.
Said judgment is coming. Now we're going into Gentile nations not to condemn them, but to give them the gospel.
Yeah.
We're going to Gentile nations to preach Christ, Christ crucified, and salvation through the cross.
To give them salvation. You know, what's interesting, Jesus uses the word all
yes.
power on heaven. And then he says, you know, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you.
Yeah.
And behold, I am with you always.
Aha.
Until the end of the age.
Excellent.
I mean, all power, all nations, observe all that he's taught.
Yeah.
And he's going to be with us always.
Right. He doesn't say to them, well, you know, go do that and good luck, because I'm not going to be around, but, you know, good luck on your trip.
And if somebody doesn't like something, well, you know, we'll make room for that.
Yeah.
You know, all that I taught you. So there's a tendency to think that Jesus has done away with the letter of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly God's grace is there for us because of the blood of Messiah, but Jesus says not one letter of the law will pass away.
Yeah.
You know, he fulfilled the law because in love, there is no law because you're not doing anything that's going to harm somebody.
That's right.
But if you're not operating out of love,
that's right.
The law is still there.
That's right. And he says, I am with you.
Yeah.
Present tense.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is I am. He's always in this present tense. He doesn't say, I'll be with you or I might be with you. I am with you.
Yeah.
Woo.
Amen.
I can't believe the show's over.
It is.
Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
Believe it, because it's true. And we just pray that you would come to know that Jesus Christ, the risen one, the Son of God, who has all power and authority on heaven and earth, died for your sins and rose again so that you might inherit eternal life with him, and that you would be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.